morning our scripture, this is our final sermon on the conversion stories in the book of Acts, the beginning stories of our church. I'm reading from the 19th chapter, verses 2 through 7. There Paul found some disciples and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "What baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Okay, so think about it like this. This baptism of John, this baptism of repentance, was kind of like having a cordless phone, okay? Remember how good it was when you finally had that first cordless phone? But the baptism of Jesus was the real thing. That was the iPhone. Now, I don't even have an iPhone, so I don't know how many of you do, but they can do absolutely everything. There is nothing they cannot do. All right, well, maybe that's a really bad analogy, but it is to say that there's always something better coming. When we are baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the Holy Spirit, we can believe and trust that there is always something better coming. To be baptized in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, these disciples, it says in the scripture, began to speak in tongues and began to prophesy. Better things were already coming. They were already being transformed. They were already being changed through the Holy Spirit and the name of Christ. When we are baptized in the name of Jesus, we can believe that the Holy Spirit is going to bring transformation into our lives and the hope of Jesus coming again. So this morning, as we finish up this story of conversion stories in Acts, we are going to hear three special stories from this congregation. And I'd like to invite Jim Son to come forward first to share his story.
Thank you. And Pastor Janet asked that we capsule our personal faith journeys with the congregation as part of this sermon series on conversion stories from the Bible. You know, I know everyone here, but my name is Jim Son, and I'd like to personally say hello to each one of you this morning. And to start by briefly relating a little bit of my personal background. I was raised in a small southern town in Arkansas during the end of the Depression era. And my parents ran a small corner grocery store. And of course, during that time frame, you had to work pretty hard just to make ends meet and raise your family. So that's where I originally came from. Little town in Arkansas. And my parents were both Christian parents and brought me up in a church-going Christian atmosphere. And I'm so happy to tell you that my parents, in my opinion, were absolutely the best. And God did well giving me the parents that he gave me. And I think growing up in a little small town and having parents that I had gave me a good start in life. I was baptized in the First Methodist Church in this little town where I grew up, Conway, Arkansas. I was confirmed there about the same age that Jarrett went through confirmation here at Wesley. And, you know, I often think about, you know, how did I get to where I am right now? And I have to give a lot of it to my parents and to the people who I knew during the time frame when I was, you know, in my youth. And, of course, the faith that I had in God, and I believe the faith that God showed in me, to me. And, you know, I still have a long way to go, but I've been traveling since my childhood in this conversion. Some people, I think, may have this spontaneous conversion like John Wesley did at Aldersgate, and that would just be, you know, a wonderful experience to have. But I have to say that mine has been more of a longer-term type conversion, with starting with my childhood and continuing on, you know, actually into today. The training I had and the environment I lived in my youth, I think, started me pretty well on this journey. And, you know, the beliefs that I had then and the beliefs that I share now are pretty much the same. You know, I believe that essentially in what we say, it's here in Sunday, or in church most Sundays, in our affirmation of faith, and I truly believe that God is the creator of the universe and everything in the universe, including each of us. And I believe that Jesus is the begotten Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, that he came here to earth for our salvation, died on the cross, was crucified, dead, and buried, and arose, and now sits at the right hand of God. And I believe one day that I'll join Jesus in heaven. Over the years, I've maintained these core beliefs, but you know, I have to admit that many times I've had some sliding, some slipping and sliding, and needing some serious dusting of my practices, my religious practices. After college, during my entire youth, I went to this little First Methodist Church in Conway, Arkansas. But then after graduating from college, I came up here to Washington and started to work for the government, and married. We had two children, two daughters, Cheryl and Debbie. Many of you know them. And then afterwards, you know, our children were, well, just in their, you know, a single digit. I can't remember exactly the age, but they were preteen. We took a tour in Panama, and there I traveled an awful lot. And then after Panama, we came back here to the States for a few years, and then we took another 4-year tour over in Germany. Now, during these overseas tours and the travel that I did, you know, that's where I need a lot of dusting off, because I traveled so much and was home so little during that time, and went to church so infrequently that was a point where, you know, I guess you could say my religious activities weren't quite up to par. But on the other hand, seeing all the world, I think, was a pretty positive for both my family and for me. My particular conversion story starts in Arkansas when I was a child, and with my parents, and extends over many years, and here at Wesley, with God coming to me in prayer and in church service, and the worship that we have here, the worship that I've experienced with others, and particularly with you guys here. You know, you particularly have been a very significant part of my faith journey. And I've been with a lot of you since I started coming here, which was, you know, the majority of my adult life. I've been here at Wesley, and that's quite a few years, at least in age. And you all have been so much a part of my conversion, each one of you. Mm-hmm. And at one time here at Wesley, we used this motto or slogan that said, Wesley, a place to call home. And to me, that's a lot more than just a motto. You know, this is my home. And it's the home of, I think, a lot of you here at Wesley. And I just can't tell you how much you mean to me personally, and not only personally, but in my faith journey and becoming a better and more faithful Christian. And when I come into this sanctuary, I feel an awe. You know, I feel the presence of God through you and through those who have been here in the past. And as I said in the beginning, I often think about how I got to this point in time and the road I still have to travel. And I believe we here at Wesley have been called by God to, you know, to travel His road. And I really feel it a privilege to travel this road with each one of you, with Pastor Janet. And I thank you for being a part of my church experience. And could we just pray just a moment, please? Our Heavenly Father, you are the creator of the universe and the maker of all that was made, that was made. You sent your Son Jesus to live among us in the flesh and to strengthen our understanding of you. And by his example, teach us to show compassion and love for each other. We are all your children, and your love for us is unconditional. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he left each of us by Holy Spirit. Help us to kindle this Holy Spirit into a flame that our lives might radiate your unconditional love and glorify your holy name. We pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jim, very much for sharing your faith story. And I'd like to invite Dale Swartz to come forward next to share her story.
I'd like to say good morning to everybody. And I think most of you know me. I've been a member of Wesley Church for 44 years. And I joined in 1967 in August. And so half of my life's journey has been here at Wesley. But I want to tell you a little bit about my journey to becoming a Christian, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit. My journey probably began the day I was born, with my mother praying for me. And my mother was a role model, and I know she prayed for me even before I was born. Mm. But I also had a grandmother who was important in my life and had a lot of influence in my spiritual growth. This was my dad's mother and the only grandmother that I ever knew. My dad was a person who believed that you always helped someone in need. If you knew a need and you were able to do anything about it, you would help him because this would be God's will. First half of my life, we worshiped in an army chapel. I grew up at Fort Belvoir, but it was called Fort Humphrey then, and it was changed to Fort Belvoir in 1935. My dad was a civilian employee there, and in those days, some civilians were allowed to have housing on the base, and we lived there. My family lived there for 30 years. And then I married into the Army, and so my journey continued for many more years on Army posts. I don't have an exciting conversion to relate to you about my journey to know the Lord, but my journey was exciting. When I was growing up, I can't remember a time that I didn't go to Sunday school and church. I remember some of my teachers, and especially my sixth grade teacher. Her name was Dorothy Scheip, and she was a wonderful person. We read from the Bible every day, every Sunday in her class, and she made this very interesting and made the Bible come alive. All my life, I have participated in church activities wherever we have been. I've taught Sunday school for years, Bible school, joined circles, gone to Bible studies and prayer groups. And I've enjoyed all of these activities. And even as a small child, most of our after-school activities would be centered around the church. So I spent a lot of time at the church as I grew up. As I grew, my faith grew. My head knowledge became heart knowledge. I love to read and meditate the scripture. God speaks to us through His Word. I've never heard God's voice speak directly to me, but when I pray, He always answers. It may not be the answer that I want, but He may put an idea in my head that I would not have thought of. Or He might lead me to a scripture, or to a hymn, or to a devotion. And at this time, it would be something that I needed at that moment, some message that I needed to receive from Him. And so I knew I was getting God's word and God's direction for my life. One day He led me to John 15. And in this, Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will produce much fruit." For a long time, this has been a scripture that has popped up in my life along the way. And I think it's because God wants me to focus on Him and be connected to Him. And I have a favorite hymn, which is Have Your Own Way, Lord. Mm-hmm. And it begins with you are the potter and I am the clay. And it ends that, filled with your Holy Spirit so all can see, God only always living in me. And I think when I get out of shape that God can reshape me and put me back together again. So when I first felt led to this scripture, I didn't picture God in my mind's eye as a vine and I was a branch. But I pictured God, I pictured Jesus as walking in a garden, and He took me by the hand. And as we walked through the garden, I felt the peace that came over me. And in this situation that I was praying about, this was exactly what I needed. Now, this peace is a characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit. And this is the fruit that God was talking about in John 15. And then when Pastor Janet came here, I think her very first sermon was about the vine and the branches. And I thought, well, she preaches right from the Bible, and she preaches my verse. I know I'm really going to like her.
Thank you, God.
I could tell you many things about growing up and becoming a Christian and having Christ in my life. And I know that I'm a Christian. I know that Christ lives in my heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know that one day that I'm going to be with him. But I'd like to jump ahead here a little bit and tell you about two retreats that I attended at Wesley that were very meaningful to me. The first retreat was at Camp Letts in Maryland, and there was a large group of people from Wesley that attended this. Harry and I both went, and it was a wonderful spiritual experience. And the opening devotion was the vine and the branches. So this scripture just keeps popping up in my life. But the second retreat, Connie Lorenzen invited the United Methodist women to come have a weekend retreat at a place that they had in Maryland. We were a smaller group, but we had a wonderful time with the Lord there. And the theme of this was the fruit of the Spirit. So there again, I'm being just followed along with this scripture and God keeping me in line all my life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the characters of Christ. And if we can incorporate, or if I can incorporate these characteristics in my life, then I know that I'm drawing closer to Christ. That weekend was filled with love, the love of Christ. And although I will never reach perfection, as long as I live, I will strive to grow and be more like Christ. And I know that I have eternal life, and one day will be with him. I have a quote from Corrie ten Boom that I'd like to share with you. I heard Corrie ten Boom speak in person. After World War II, when she made a tour through this country, she was a very dynamic person. She was a little short person, and you could just see her like this above the podium. But she spoke at the Pentagon. Today, I don't know if anyone could go to the Pentagon and go into an auditorium and tell people about Jesus Christ, but she did at that time. I have a woman's devotional Bible, and there are several devotions by Corrie ten Boom in this Bible. And this one I reread not too long ago, and I like this. And I'm going to read this so that I don't misquote her. Once I asked a parachutist, "How did you feel when you jumped from an airplane with a parachute on your back for the first time?" "There was only one thought," he answered. "It works. It works." And so Corrie ten Boom says, "What does it mean to go through life with Jesus?" I can answer from experience. It works. It works. Oh. And then she said, "Lord, what joy that we may tell other people that it works. And it works in my life, and I hope it works in yours. I pray." Well, my husband and I pray every morning and read the upper room, and I pray many times through the day. I pray for Wesley congregation. I pray for the church, and you are the church. And so I hope you'll pray for me. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Dale, very much. Yeah. Special conversion stories, aren't they? And many of us don't feel like our stories are that special, do we? Here's what's special, that God reaches into your life in such a way that you would notice, that maybe that happened through your family life and growing up as a child and having parents who were able to provide that spiritual life for you. Or maybe it happened through a mother's prayers or through scriptures that caught you at just the right moment. Or maybe it happened while you were on retreat, as Dale and Jim have shared these experiences. Maybe God is still working at that in your life. But you know, we have to remember that God's work is gentle work, and it sometimes takes years for us to understand it. Sometimes it's only when we turn around and look back in hindsight that we see the transformation that God has accomplished. So conversion may actually be the miracle of a moment, but the making of a saint really is the task of a lifetime. Many of us don't feel that our faith has any kind of substance, that we don't live it out well enough, that we stray, that there are times that we're not involved in the church, or that we don't pray hard enough, or we don't grow in study enough. But you know, our incompleteness and our insufficiency doesn't make us unacceptable in God's eyes. God still uses us. Remember, God uses what is weak and gives it strength. And God can convert, and we've learned this through these stories this summer, God can convert anytime and anywhere, in hospitals, in businesses, in schools, in prison, on retreats. God can convert the outcast. God can convert even in the church. How about that? But through the incarnation, God has become one with us so that we can be one with God. Amen? So God does transform lives, and the very people being transformed are people like you in the pews. And God is using you to transform the church and to offer hope to a hurting world. Remember that the church, as we read these stories in Acts, the book of Acts is kind of like the book of Genesis. The book of Acts is the creation story of the church. And this church is the vehicle that was chosen by Jesus Christ to carry the gospel, to carry the word of God into the world. God chose a community of faith to be witness in the world. You can go to any secular organization you want, and you can volunteer all you want, and it might make you feel good. But what you get in the church that you don't get in any other organization is this: the risen Christ is alive here. The word of God is proclaimed here. By the power of the Spirit, this is where God shapes and molds and transforms us to serve, not as individuals, but as a community, as people joined together, as people who follow Christ together, that we can be servants, that we can be witnesses to this amazing love that has been given to us. I think that is so exciting. Don't you think that is an exciting opportunity, an exciting moment for us as a church to understand how we are called to be a witness? So if you think your conversion story isn't much to talk about, your faith journey really is. You've been caught up in a life that is larger than yourself. You've been caught up in the life of God, and God transforms lives. It's that simple. God transforms lives. God converts us also at this table. God converts us at this table, offering us sustenance and strength through this holy meal. God offers us by the power of the Holy Spirit to be sustained in our bodies and our souls. And when we come to this table, we greet Christ at this table. Christ is in the bread. Christ is in the wine. Christ is in each other as we gather at this table. We greet all the saints who have ever shared in God's love with us, whether they are at this table physically or spiritually, or whether they have departed to life everlasting. The original church in Acts is here gathered at this table. The whole church gathers at this table. This is the church of everlasting life.